WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a new year. Happy New Year to everyone out there celebrating. We're going to be celebrating with the Maryland Lottery and the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're back at it. Thursday, next Thursday, we'll be at G&A Coney Island Hot Dog in White Marsh. Been trying to get up there with Andy for quite some time, moving from Highland Town. We'll be doing that. I'll have some holiday scratch-offs to still give away. Got a handful of these left over from Ross from Fadley's and Costas last month, as well as our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation as well. This guy joins me. We try to do it every week, but it's been like every month lately. The holidays got in the way. It's a pretty typical story. It's almost like a holiday song. But here it is, January, and I've already done all the little hats and the funny glasses, and I've already had my champagne, my eggnog. Bill Cole from Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy joins us now. I got my Royal Farms in the cup again, and how are you? Happy Festivus season.
You brought up those Coney Island hot dogs again. I think we talked about that already, right? Like the Detroit Coney Island hot dog stuff and all that story. I think once. Oh, the hot dogs, the two places in Detroit that we went last time we were out there. And, you know, you got to have each one and you got to decide which one. One's like the sloppy, dirty one and the other one's the clean and pristine. And yeah, well, the one place.
Well, the only we didn't have two choices in Highland Town. We went to Andy. We went to G&A. The two choices there were: do you want, you know, mustard or ketchup? Do you want, you know, the choices were hot dog, or he had beautiful hamburgers and onions that he would grill in the window, right?
Yeah,
so he's up in White Marsh now. He's moved out to the county, as they would say. And how's your New Year?
So I can appreciate that all the college football diehards thought that the kid missing the field goal at the strike of midnight was like this amazing way for New Year's to happen. But I would like them to recall that, you know, most of us have families and not all the people in our family are entirely engaged in the college football game. So that played pretty much chaos with.
Did you do Dolly and Miley Cyrus or what were you doing?
Yes, only because that was seemed to be the only channel that the streaming service would play. So we didn't see the ball and my daughters are distraught because like that's the first time they haven't seen the ball drop. And I'm not really sure about Miley Cyrus and Dolly. That was all kind of weird. But I was watching the football game and then I'm trying to pause it because I got to go do this. And it was just.
Well, anything, it's not Dick Clark's weird at this point.
It was.
Right?
It was weird. This point. I don't know. I mean,
my mother couldn't do it without Guy Lombardo, right? You know, I mean, right?
Phenomenal day of football. Like, it just insane, great college football to watch.
You know, Leonard Raskin's kid goes to Ohio State. He was out at the game Atlanta. So I had him on bright and early after the Ravens game. And, you know, he had a whirlwind week because he thought the Ravens were playing at 1 o'clock. So he had like a morning flight out and then they moved the game, you know, so.
The
Michigan thing and like all of that and Alabama's and all these big schools. And it feels like Notre Dame's there every year and they're never there. We've noticed that, right? USC and some other places as well. But TCU, I mean, like my wife didn't even know they were the Horned Frogs until I told her. Right. And then I told her and then she didn't believe me, you know?
It took till about the eighth person for somebody to know that it was Texas Christian. They didn't even know what TCU stood for. But I would like to begin a campaign of implementing relegation into college football and weave the pros into it as well. So we all love this soccer relegation concept from Europe and, you know, it prevents the rebuild year. You can't just suck or you're going to go to the lower league.
The Orioles would have been in the Southern League had that been the case. They would have been double A by the end.
So I think like the top four college football teams have to play an NFL schedule the next year, and the bottom four NFL teams have to go play an SEC schedule the next year. And I think you might have better outcomes. Like, I don't know. I know that's not true because they're all pros on the pro team, and even the best college team only has a dozen pros. But I still think something, you know, the relegation, we need to find a way to get relegation into one of our sports here because, you know, their relegation is fun. It provides a lot of angst and passion.
If you had been at that Pearl Jam concert last year in May in the parking lot in Oakland and the A's were playing the Angels and there were like 900 people at the game,
Right,
and there were
right.
12,000 people there for, Pearl Jam, you would say maybe they should be relegated. Remember when they
Yeah.
remember when Bud Selig was going to contract the Minnesota Twins, back in
Right.
the day? We don't have those problems anymore, but we have first world football problems, don't we? 10
Well,
and
we
5 in the playoffs, gaudy in the playoffs before New Year's Day, Christmas Day, they're in the playoffs. And nobody in this town believes. I mean, there's going to be a playoff game next weekend. Playoffs next weekend. There's a real Ravens playoff game. And I've never felt the temperature feel more weird, not just because I'm thrown out, but like all these years later, this used to be the most wonderful time of the year in Baltimore, and purple flamingos on lawns and lights out, all of that stuff, right?
It's a good thing that the Steeler Raven game has such wonderful, like, historical heritage, because Chris Collinsworth can sit there and tell me how great of a game it is and show me pictures of Bart Scott, sacking Ben Roethlisberger or whatever. Because that, in my opinion, was two bad football teams playing bad football. But somehow it's a, it's a defensive juggernaut, run the ball. I mean, that's the was the fastest football game ever, right? It was like four possessions and it's halftime because that neither one of them can do anything. So all they do is run the ball and they can't stop the run either. So the clock just winds and winds and winds. I don't know. It was
And then
bad
nobody
football,
scores.
right? It was bad. It was bad football, man. Bad football. And I really thought Tyler Huntley was better. And I don't know whether what we're seeing is Roman like shutting him down to not blow it. As opposed to, because like he just doesn't make anything happen.
Well, Roman is, and I'm not going to sit here and defend him. But I go back to Matt Cavanaugh, right? I mean,
Sure.
when I knew these guys and spent time with them, it's amazing. Like, I watched Rex Ryan the other day. Rex and Mike Pettine used to bring me and anyone I wanted, quite frankly, from the radio station, and half of my hosts didn't care enough to know football to even take it, jagging off out in Owings Mills after dark, 8:30 at night. We're in there eating Boston chicken and talking football with real coaches. Rex would do that anytime. And when I see Rex break down plays, and when I see coaches break down plays, and when I hear Rex even being mouthy on ESPN on a
Right.
weekend, there's so much more information as to why things happen the way they happen, where a coach can't say, "Dude, I'm playing with third string wide receivers. You want,
Right.
what kind of patterns do you want me? I can draw up any pattern. I speak Greek literature. These
Right.
guys can barely read. They're
Right.
rookies. They're third string. They're out against first string. And I've got a second string quarterback that wouldn't be a second string quarterback anywhere else in the league in regard to passing because he was
Right,
undraftable in that way.
right.
He can run this style of offense. In that I can pass the ball 18 to 24 times a game. I can run. I can razzle dazzle. Not as good as Lamar. Certainly, the one thing, and I brought this up a lot this week, him as a replacement for Lamar in trying to do Lamar things. This guy gets his head taken off, right? Like, he's gotten hit harder
Yes.
in one game. The Steelers hit
Yes.
him four times harder than
Yes.
Lamar's ever been hit. I
Yes.
mean, Lamar is really that kid on the playground that
Right.
you can't tackle.
He's elusive. Yes. Yes. He
Yeah.
can move and anticipate and dodge, as good as Barry Sanders back in the day, right? Like he was the one that always made everybody miss. So I don't know. I mean, look, they can't be all that bad, but boy, they sure do look bad, right? I mean, they're in the playoffs. They've won a lot of games. So there's got to be something there, but there's no players. You know what I mean? Like Calais Campbell, Marcus Peters. Like, yeah, to your point, I don't know who any of the receivers are. Well, that's not true. I know who all of them are because they were awesome 5 years ago.
I mean, how
So,
sophisticated can you make the passing game when you don't even know the names of the wide receivers?
right. Well, I
I mean,
do
I'm
know,
seriously,
but
like,
that's
I mean,
because they
Greg
were good
Roman's going
5 years
to get
ago.
shot over this, and that's cool, and that's the way this goes, and he'll go get a gig, and God bless him, and it's all good. But when it's all over with, he may say, Lamar had limitations. And we played around those limitations. The offense had limitations because of the wide receivers. The scheme had limitations because these guys can all get out and pull and block. But in pass protection against real pass protection, I need Pat Ricard in there. I need extra bodies in there, which already takes away from my Devin Duvernay, who's now gone, and Jame Proche. Like, I think shooting the offensive coordinator is so end of the bar, to call to use John Harbaugh's phrase, because that's not the reality. Greg Roman's still the smartest guy in the room. There's just limitations to what he's going to be able to draw up and do based on what they can actually execute. And the hardest part is getting plays in, and I'll put that on Roman all day long, right? Like that they always have this problem getting play calls in.
Right. I think if I put myself in the Ravens' shoes, I believe we have now been forced to franchise tag Lamar. Like, I don't think there's a deal that I would do. Like, franchise, I'm going to pay him that kind of money anyway, and I only have to do a one-year deal.
Is he happy? Do you think – let's start with, does he want to be here?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, fair enough. I mean, and that's the vibe I get.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't think so.
And
I
that's so at the end of the day, what does that mean for Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh? If he doesn't really want to be here, you're going to give him 45 million. There are people, there are athletes, and there are pundits this week who have said, dude, sit it out. You can't win playoff games. Just have a seat at the end of the bench. You're in negotiation phase now, okay? There is no more season. Your leg's bad, okay?
Right.
So because you can't win. You have to win with these stiffs. So don't go out there and devalue yourself by losing another playoff game at 85 or 90%.
Right.
You know, Roger Dorn this. Go sit this out. And I'm sure Steve Bisciotti's saying, dude, I'm paying you $2 million a week.
Right.
Like you're here to play. So if that's psychologically – at any point where they are, dude, are you playing me? Are you not? Are you doing all that you can do to get back on the field? Because they got Rich Eisen ganging up on them now, right? Because the Ravens told Rich Eisen the week before Christmas, told the whole NFL Network staff, Stacey Dales, all of them, he'll be back next week against Atlanta. And now here we are 2.5 weeks later, he's not back. All of a sudden, this has turned into more intrigue. And, dude, we'll get to Damar Hamlin. I want to do that because this was not taped before that. This is in the aftermath. And sometimes it's hard to go down the parallel lines of how real life affects football, you know, when you get into a football conversation.
Sure.
But for this football team right now, I mean, there's 10 days left in their season at this point. And the man up, the nut cut time, all of that, whether they win in Cincinnati, this like whatever the league decides to do with the Cincinnati-Buffalo game, this is at the top of their structure, their organization. They've built the whole thing around him, Bill.
Right.
If you built your whole roofing company around one guy on a roof, and certainly that guy didn't want to be on the roof anymore. Woo! Like this is emotional for them. Very emotional right now as to whether he gets on the field or not, because they know they can't win without him, and he knows they can't win without him. And that's a negotiation ploy when you're the agent and he's the agent.
Well, so I'm just trying to pull the emotion out of it and think of it as the, you know, billion-dollar business that it is, and say the risk analysis says we cannot sign this guy to a long-term deal. It is potentially a franchise killer. So don't do that. The league gives us this option to franchise. Let's franchise and let's keep him for 2 years while we transition to the other type of traditional style team and start to build that way. And hey, we'll put Lamar back there and let him pass 40 times a game and let's see what happens. Maybe win some, maybe lose some.
He'll get broken in half.
Yeah, I don't know. But
and you give him $45 million, who's catching the ball?
Well, we don't have anybody to catch the ball anyway. And we're not paying him 45 right now. So where's the money being spent? DBs? You know, D-line? I don't know. I mean, I we're just not very good, in my opinion. We're not deep. It's very obvious. You got to have two or three of those like hidden gems that pop up when you're, you know, if you're going to win the Super Bowl, you got three guys that are playing at a all pro, slightly below all pro level that you didn't see coming. And that's why those teams win. So I just think this has gone so poorly. He could have been Ray Lewis, you know what I mean? He could have just totally dominated the city and everybody would have
Ray
loved him.
Lewis plays in December and
I
January.
get it. I get
I mean,
it.
I you know, I'm
Yeah,
not
I
even
get
down
it.
on the kid and the injury, but I mean, this is, and I say this to everyone every week, and I'm like a friggin' broken record, right? The night the kid was drafted, you knew he was gonna run into linebackers. And you knew he was gonna do it a lot. And Luke and I saw it that first night. I was up in that press box in Canton, Ohio. I'll never forget. He was playing in that Hall of Fame game. Mentioned Ray Lewis. Is Ray Lewis's Hall of Fame induction. And he ran into linebackers, and I had never seen anything like it. And my shoulders went up, and I'm like, how can Eric and Ozzie, how are they going to sleep? How's John going to sleep when this is the game plan? And now all of a sudden, 2 seasons in a row, in the prime of his career, he's been unavailable when he's led the team to 8-3 and 8-4. So you see the intrinsic value of that. And then everybody says, oh, Mark, Greg Roman's an idiot. The offense sucks. The wide receivers suck. The running game, the block, the defense, it's kicker. They were 8-3 and 8-4. So all of a sudden you say, well, he's got all of these deficiencies and he's no good at that and they're no good at this. And they have these 8-3 and 8-4 when he's playing football healthfully. But the question is, will he ever be healthy in December? And, you know, that's why nobody else drafted him, quite frankly, because I don't think that their risk aversion, the
Yeah,
risk
sure.
aversion is I'd rather have a quarterback that eludes contact
Right.
as opposed
Seeks
to
it.
seeking it.
Right. I'm with you. So let's get into that other the
Oh, the
Bills.
real stuff, the part where these
Yeah,
guys put their
yeah.
lives on the line, and this is why they make $46 million a year, right?
Well, are you saying that comment facetiously or legitimately? Yeah.
Legitimately, that Lamar Jackson could be DeMar Ham, any of these guys could be DeMar, like literally. And listen, I went through this with Luke earlier in the wee morning hours after the game on Tuesday. And the reason for that was we were planning, like, you know, the game's outcome was going to decide when the Ravens play on
Oh,
Sunday, right?
it's a grade A mess on the, have a grade A mess on their hands, no doubt about it.
Yeah. And they knew that the instant. I mean, when this happened, Jen had fallen asleep. She was a little tired. We were both really looking forward to the game. And she's like, if I fall asleep, wake me in the third quarter. You know, wake me when it, because this is going to be
Right.
one of those
Sure.
34-31. This is going to be that kind of game, right?
Sure.
And it was a game I was looking forward to in a
Me
big
too.
way, like
Yeah.
all day, put food aside, like
Yeah.
took nap, you know,
Yeah.
like I was like ready for the
Yeah,
game, right?
I get it. It
So,
was
I mean,
the culmination of the weekend.
the
Like,
minute it
I watched so
happened
much football.
and I saw how the players reacted
Yep.
instantly and the medical staff instantly, and they
Yep.
went to commercial and they stayed in commercial and they came back and went to commercial. I'm
Yep.
now on Twitter and I'm thinking, this is why you need reporters at the game, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is where my reporter head goes into. I've sat in that press box 24 times in
Right.
Cincinnati. I know where the chili is. I know where everything is. I
Right.
know where the locker rooms are on the left side. I know where the city is and where the ambulance comes from. I know where all of that is. And you know, I watched it, but we weren't really watching it. I got up and went to the bathroom. I came back. My wife was awake, and my wife's like, "What's up?" And I'm like, "There's a kid dying on the field right now.
Yeah.
The kid
Yep.
might die on the field." Like, and I
Yep.
knew this. This is 6 minutes in, dude. This
I'm with
is
you.
first. This is second commercial break.
Right.
Like, this was not an hour in that she wakes up, perks up, says, "What's going on?" And I'm like, I have still not watched the play again. I don't want to. I don't want to watch him go up and down. I know about it, but I
It's
have
not,
been a part of the
yeah.
game on the field. I remember the most violent thing I've ever seen in my life. I was down on the field the first year in 1996. I want to say the Rams were playing, the St. Louis Rams, Isaac Bruce, that, you know, those guys
Right,
were in,
sure.
and there was an onside kick in the last 2 minutes. There were a lot of those because we were always
Ooh.
losing by, you know, 14
Right.
points and Vinny, right?
Right.
And I saw an onside kick standing on the 30-yard line, and I'm like, holy shit. I mean, like, I, you know, like,
Right.
I had, and
Right.
I'm 28 years old at the
Right.
time, dreaming of getting an NFL. I'm in Memorial Stadium and I'm on the
Right.
30-yard line. I'll never forget that.
Right.
So, knowing that, and I told Luke a story earlier this week, 1999, I believe, 98, no, 98 or 99. No, it was 99 because it was Stoney Case. In Atlanta, John Ogden was my guest at the barn, and he got carted. He had a neck. Right. He had a stinger, and they put him in an ambulance in Atlanta and drove him off the Georgia Dome field. He was my guest the next night, and that was very early on in this, you know, in doing radio 24 years ago. Ray Lewis was medevaced on a day when I was broadcasting from Nate's and Leon's at the ballpark in a summer day in August. He was medevaced out of Western Maryland. So, like, I'm not in any way, like, believe me, I sit and talk for real to guys that can't walk from playing this game and have seen O.J. Bergantz. I know what these guys put on the line. And going back to Daryl Stingley, Utley, you know, all right. the sure. near misses and guys that our breath is taken away and there's a hush, and one day later you see the guy at a banquet and say hello and he's fine, or at least,
right, sure,
you know,
sort of fine.
But this doesn't feel fine, bro.
Well, I think the guy's gonna be okay. Don't you reading the reports and stuff? I think the guy's gonna be okay. I don't know if he'll ever play, but I think the guy's gonna pull through. I think he's gonna be okay. I think I was struck by the seemingly unpreparedness of the whole thing. Like, to your point, that was 2 minutes and you rattled off half a dozen names, two different situations. Like, this is, if you're the league, isn't this sort of like an inevitability that you prepare for? Right. And
that's the first thing I thought. I sent a text to Chris Pica. If I look it up, that incident happened at 8:55. I probably text Pica and I'll look and see if my timing. Oh, 9:06, 9:06 p.m. I text Pica. Please tell me that the NFL has an emergency playbook for dealing with something this tragic. Certainly feels like ESPN doesn't know what to do.
Right.
So this was 11 minutes in that I text Chris Pica that, and I went on social media with that very statement. Like, I was on the radio, nationally syndicated, the night that Dale Earnhardt went into the wall.
Right.
And it was a night that I was prepared somehow, maybe the Pete Rose, maybe I'm losing my mind, and Pete Rose had something to do with gambling and like the Hall of Fame. It was 21 years ago. My whole show changed on a national radio show. I didn't know what a Hans device was. Right. I'm dealing with NASCAR that I know very little about and a legend going into a wall and dying on the scene, right? Like, literally that happened in real time. And I'm thinking, how can NASCAR not have a plan for that to happen again? How can they not be prepared for that to happen again?
Right. So you don't think they did at the time and they don't now?
I don't know. No, I don't know. I'm just saying, once that sort of tragedy happened,
right.
I go to the NFL owners meetings every year, right? They're high paid, well, Chad yes. Steele's in suits all over the place, all with ego and cards and all this stuff. And like these kinds of things, what if a bomb goes off a block away? Wait, like,
yeah.
I, you know, Don Mueller ran Baltimore County, right? Like, you have to have a plan for everything, right?
Yes. Yes. And this is
about being on the Eastern Shore the day that the tunnel fire happened. He didn't even know there was a tunnel. He was the governor.
And this one's pretty straightforward that, you know, like the odds are something like this is going to happen. I mean, whose call was it that said, okay, holy crap, are they doing CPR on him? Okay, all the players create a human wall around it so nobody can see what's happening. Like, is that what happened? Or were all the players just concerned and walked out on the field and like huddled up around him? And then to not know, it's just like the disconnect of human empathy and just ridiculousness. Because
5 minutes back on the field. Come on. Five minutes.
We just watched our compatriot get you know, CPR done to him. Like, there, you know, that's a emotional experience that you don't just bundle up and put away. Or if you do, if that is your level of expectation of these players, that's something that needs to be trained and talked about in August, right? Like, listen, guys, this is how the league goes. We play through death. I mean, you know, whatever the plan is, but that was 100% the coaches dealing with their own emotions, right? Trying to compartmentalize that, turning around and looking at a 10-year veteran bawling his eyes out on the sideline because he's freaking out because his buddy just, left in an ambulance. And then I think at one point, like the Cincinnati, they had already talked. And then the Cincinnati coach comes walking across the field because he knew. He's like, don't even, like the Buffalo guy's trying to like hold it
We're making a
together.
mistake here.
Right. He's
I'm a
like,
leader of men. We're making a mistake, right?
we need to get off
Step
the
up.
field. Right. We need to get off the field. We need to get in the locker room. Let's not have this discussion on television. And then I think I don't, maybe we've just been fortunate in life where these broadcasters happen to be in the right place at the right time and they shine in that moment in just connecting on a human level. Like the ESPN people, I don't know. I mean, you can only sit there and tell me how devastated and everyone's praying for the boy. You can only say that so many times before I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, what
Well,
is the
Schefter
plan
did it
here?
for, and I look, I'm friends with Adam. I'm friends with Susie. This was tough, man. I know
No
Van
doubt.
Pelt about this much. And Ryan Clark and being fast on your feet. This is why you hire professionals. This is
Well, but
why
the
you
Ryan
want
Clark
professionals. Lisa
thing,
Salters has shown up at murder scenes when she was a news
yeah,
reporter here
like
years ago,
Ryan Clark doesn't hit the air until probably a half hour into this. I don't know the exact timing, but that's what
It was
it.
maybe later than that, even.
Yeah, I mean it took,
They didn't go to Van Pelt for an hour.
right. And I mean, look, Ryan Clark is a that's a wonderful sort of angle to play. You know what I mean? Like that's a good person to have sitting in the studio, and or whether he had to get dressed from the hotel or whatever his deal was, that fit what was going on. But people's understanding of trying to walk that line of sympathy and understanding and focus, and then disconnecting and being the journalist. Like, you can be a journalist in that circumstance and talk about the, like, we all know what the core issue is. We're all praying for that kid. Like, we all know what's on the line here. But you can still be a journalist. You can still talk to me about, the challenges it is playing football and what this is going to do to the mindset. Like, maybe you don't have to immediately go to the schedule chaos that this is going to create if they cancel the game. Maybe that's a bit, maybe you don't want to talk about that in the first half hour. But talking about, I don't know, it was weird and seemed like
Nobody
ad
was prepared
hoc.
for it.
Yeah,
They did
yeah.
not. They never staged this. They never did the fire drill as we did when we were kids, right?
And I don't know what you do to make it better through all of that, right? But it just definitely was weird. And now, knowing that I'm pretty sure the kid's going to be okay, now my head goes to like the NFL, in order to maximize television, just screws with all the schedules. There's no luck anymore. I'm getting a text probably from you, the day before the game, telling me that if Cincinnati loses, we play at 4 o'clock. If Cincinnati wins, we play at 1 o'clock. Well, so none of the games are scheduled. None of the games are timed out. The
Well,
whole
college
thing
football's been doing
is a
this for
mess.
20 years. Do we kick
And
off at
now,
noon or do we kick off at 8? ESPN will let you know. Old Fox Television will let you know.
like I was 100% certain, I'd have bet a lot of money that Buffalo Cincy would play on Thursday, and then we would get flexed to Monday, and then everybody would go into the playoffs. And that would get you done. Because that's a 4-day turn. I get it, not ideal, but what are you gonna do? So that at least fits
Well, the
inside the
COVID plan was not ideal, but what are you going to do? I mean, Denver played without a quarterback, right?
Right, sure.
They went out and
I don't know.
staged the National Football League game without a quarterback.
Yeah, it's a shame. Again, we hope for better performances when the cards are down, I guess. And I have a hard time even saying what I hoped they would have done better, because I don't know what I wanted that to look like. But it sure felt like chaos and, lack of understanding. So I don't know.
It almost feels like at that moment, the commissioner has to be like the president of the United States and get a hot cocoa and take 5 minutes. And once the chaos is, we're going to cancel the game, make himself available for 5 minutes at 10:05 on ESPN to say, this is unprecedented. We're under duress. I'm going to get back on the phone right now with, our leadership. And we're going to send everybody home in Cincinnati and pray for this young man and do the right thing. That would have been a front-facing thing for the owners to do. Apparently, both of the
Yes.
owners were in the locker room, right? So send Mike Brown
Right.
and let the coaches do their send Mike Brown and send the Pegulas, out up into the booth with Joe Buck and do a we're very concerned and like there's a lot of leadership things they could have done other than say here give the keys to Susie let her do something.
Sure. I'm with you there 100%. Like maybe it's not Roger Goodell because the NFL decides that that isn't the best thing for them, but there is a huge list of leadership, owners, general managers, assistant coaches, prior head
A
coaches.
face.
Like,
Put a face
yeah,
on it. Put a face on it.
somebody to
That's all.
come out there. Right. I agree with you. That's all good stuff.
Put a
Yeah.
face on it that's not Joe Buck. That's all. Bill Cole is here. He is Cole Roofing and Gordon. I have my. Oh, here it is right here. Cole Roofing. I got to get a new mug. This says 100 years. It's been like 104 now. Wow, exactly. Under 4 years. And you can find them at Cole Roofing. And anything you want to update me on roofing to 2023, any of that stuff?
No, it's still a lot of the same. Try and do planning ahead. Make sure you're asking questions about solar. It could be good for you, but it's status quo, I think, right now.
All right, Bill Cole is here. He will be there at BaltimorePositive.com. We are getting ready for a game in Cincinnati this weekend. I had a flight. I don't have a press pass. I'll be watching whether they play at 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whenever they play it, whatever the league decides to do, we're just gonna fall in line because they're the National Football League, of course. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.